right. Next up, we have a man I'm not really sure how to introduce because he's lived 100 lives. He's been a monk, an educator, a journalist, and a thespian. And those are just the things I know about. But I do know throughout his many lives, he's tough as nails. He was just in the hospital last Tuesday, and he's already here, ready to share with us. So I'd like to introduce Seneca Falls' own Jimmy Porta.
Yes, I was in the hospital, and I was contagious, so. No, I don't know what I had, but I felt very weak, and my blood pressure was 80 over 55, and they said I was dehydrated. I wasn't thirsty, I just felt very weak. I went in Saturday and was released Tuesday. There are many times where on a Friday, if I have nothing to do the next day, say, oh, I can sleep as long as I want. I go to bed at, say, 10. I wake up at 8 in the morning, and I start moving about, and I hear outside, they're emptying the dumpsters, because I live in an apartment complex, which is actually not that complex. And they emptied the dumpsters on Monday. So I realized that I went to sleep on Friday and woke up on Monday. Very Rip Van Winkle-ish, but not quite. And you could live an entire life, maybe several lives, and never meet anyone from Sleepy Hollow. I know Sleepy Hollow exists because I was born there and I lived there my first year and then went back when I was around 8. But it's very rare that you actually meet someone from Sleepy Hollow. Decades later, I was a Benedictine monk in Florida. My name was Genesius, patron of fools. Within a year, I led a revolution. All 9 novices left. The Vatican then came, did an investigation, removed the abbot, removed the novice master. They died in a bizarre, what could be murder-suicide. They drove their car into a gas tank and blew up. St. Leo Abbey asked, do I want to come back? It seemed like a good idea at the time. But no. Decades later, I was once again in a monastery in Washington, D.C., St. Anselm's Abbey. Now, the one in Florida, it was American Cassines. Those are the Benedictines that you would see mostly in the United States. They elect their abbots until the age of 70. If there's no one to immediately replace the abbot, then he can stay on for 5 more years, but then they have to have another election. The English Benedictines, there's only 3 in the United States. Portsmouth, Rhode Island, Washington, D.C., Louisville, Kentucky. The rest are in England, Ireland, and Wales. If you've seen the pictures of the Loch Ness, that thing that looks like a castle was a Benedictine monastery. They closed a couple years ago. That was St. Anselm's Abbey's founding monastery. They elect their abbots for periods of 7 years. The abbot can be re-elected, but the abbots are not elected for life. So it's, if you have an abbot that becomes a tyrant, you just vote him out after 7 years. That's where I was at St. Anselm's Abbey. I was there for almost 10 years. And at one point, the abbot asked me about my calling and how I experienced it. And I told him, the woman who would become my mother, shortly after she married the man who would become my father, I got pregnant, but had a miscarriage so early in the pregnancy, they didn't even know what the gender was. A couple years later, she got pregnant again, and around Christmas time, was hanging up Christmas decorations alone and fell off a stool. And I think she was on the floor for about an hour before she could get to the phone. She lost the child. But the following year, she was pregnant again in winter time, and she was driving to the store to get groceries, and another car skid on the ice and crashed into hers, and she lost the baby. The following year, she was full-term pregnancy in 1961, May or June. And while she was delivering the child, an ulcer broke, and poison was going through her umbilical system. Doctors contacted my father was there, and said to him, if we can't save both of them, who do we save? And it was a Catholic hospital in Tarrytown, New York, Sweet Home. And he spoke to the priest, and the priest said, well, teaching the Holy Mother Church is that you have to save the child. And he thought of it. He told me this years later, he said, I thought of it. I couldn't live without your mother. And if I said she's to die, I may have grown up resenting the child. So I said, if you can only save both, save my wife. They tried to save both, but the child died an hour or so after he was born in my mother's arms, and the child was named Angelina. My mom was in and out of consciousness. She couldn't even attend the funeral. That's when about 8 or 9, my parents and I, and then a sister who's 2 years younger than I, we went back to Ossining and Tarrytown, where my father and my mom to visit with friends. And there was a couple twin sisters who were both deaf and slightly retarded. And they helped raise me when I was, they helped my mom raise me my first year. And they loved seeing me because I didn't remember them. But it was an eerie feeling visiting the grave, standing at the foot of my sister, who I never knew, and watching my mom in tears and my father trying to comfort her. When she found out she was pregnant with me, she made a novena to Saint Gerard. Now, a novena in Roman Catholicism is a set prayer that you say for a period of 8 days, asking the saint to intervene on your behalf. Saint Gerard was an Italian tailor who, in his lifetime, was not on record of helping any pregnant woman. He did have the ability to bilocate. He could be in two places or more at once and have memories of the conversations he had and what he did there. During World War II, I believe, an American soldier in Italy heard that his wife was pregnant and going to deliver, but there was going to be complications. Heard that by telegram. He went into the nearest church, which was out of St. Gerard, and he asked St. Gerard for intervention. maybe a day later or an hour later, he got a telegram that the child was fine, and the wife was fine, and that's how Gerard became the patron of women who have difficulty in labor. When I was born, it was the same doctor who delivered Angelina. His name was Dr. James Wiseman. His wife was his nurse, and his brother was also working with a team. And so I was born with the three wise men there. And they spanked me, and I didn't wake up. It was nothing. And they spanked me again, and I didn't wake up. I was, don't know what was going through my mom's mind or through the doctor's mind, but the doctor's wife said, tickle his feet. So I thought, wow, I literally came into the world laughing in Sleepy Hollow. My mom named me James after her father, who died when she was 14, and Gerard after the same. I never knew why I was named Gerard. And then when in the family, I decided I was named Gerard. I had a hard time pronouncing Gerard. Why did you name me Gerard? And she didn't tell me. It wasn't until I was around 14 and was going strong and needed a medical history that I found out the origin of my birth. But I didn't think much of it then, except that I came into the world laughing. I was telling all this to the abbot, and then I said, I realized now that I'm here that I came into this world as an answer to a mother's prayer. And I've heard God's voice ever since I was a child. I was born on my cousin's 5th birthday. So when she said when she was 9, she could remember when I was 4 saying, I wanted to be a priest. A 4-year-old know about priesthood. I do remember when I was 4, and the Pope Paul was on, giving a mass in the Vatican, and my father was so happy. He said, you gotta watch this, gotta watch this. And he said, now pay attention. And at the end of the Our Father, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, which over here in the United States, we didn't say that. He said, see, that's extra. So when I was a kid and I went to Catholic school, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't say I wanted to be a priest. I said, and I was serious, I want to be Pope. I would be Pope when I grew up. And then getting older, I thought, I want to be Pope. And then older, I go, I want to be a priest. But I want to be a priest that teaches. The assistant pastor taught religion in Holy Innocent School in Neptune, New Jersey. And he taught in such a way to make it relatable to us. When he was talking about the manna in the desert, which was in the 1960s, and he said, they called it manna because they were going, they didn't know what it was. Hey, man. Hey, man. And that's the way I wanted to teach. And at St. Anselm's Abbey School for Young Men, which was an all-boys school open to any faith, as long as you had the money. That's the way I taught. I helped raise my nieces and nephews, so I knew what the young kids were into, like Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. And I would bring that into the classroom. And it surprised me that when I spoke to their vocation director, just what do you like to do? And I said, well, I like to go to the planetarium in Rochester. It's only an hour away. And sometimes Leonard Nimoy speaks. And he said, who is Leonard Nimoy? And I thought, how can you have a school with kids and not know popular culture? So I was actually a hit with the students down there, and I thought it would be a good idea to be a monk, among that talk. And I was teaching. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has struck me with a strange neurological condition that to this day, scientists can't tell me what it is. They can only tell me what it's not. We didn't discover it until 1973, when I had a chronic pain in my back. And I first thought it was hypochondria, because then I only noticed it when I was doing my chores. But I went to the doctor, and he said, pain is, you feel the pain in your back, but it's not there. You're walking like this because your muscles are so tight, your hips are lifting your legs to walk. We'll do some tests and we'll find out what it is. And they did tests. Anyone seen the movie The Exorcist?
Yes.
Which came out in 1974. Those tests that she had, I had in 1973.
Wow.
Except it wasn't as messed up as hers. That arm thing wasn't going all around. And they got the injection right in. The reason they did that was back then they didn't have CAT scans. They needed to inject a radioactive isotope so they could take pictures to see what's connected and what's not connected. And like hers, no legions, everything's connected. I don't know what the problem is. It's demonic possession. That's what they should have taken me to an exorcist. Now, one time when I was at St. Leo College in Florida, where St. Leo Abbey happens to be, I was on a retreat I was staffing a retreat for eighth graders. And they asked, why do you walk like that? And there were three eighth graders in the same room as me. And at night, I start, what's wrong? What's wrong? Nothing.
Yeah. Oh,
what's
happening
here?
I need an exorcist.
And they turn on the light. I go, turn off that light. And then I start twitching again. What the?
It's mine!
Turn on that light! And then they realized, you're fooling with us. Yeah, you think it's really good? At the time, I thought it was a good idea. And at the time, I was at St. Anthony's for almost 10 years. And I was teaching, taking seminary classes, which meant going for my master's in theology. I already had a bachelor's in religious studies, maintaining the monastic schedule, and the guest master, which meant I had to make sure the rooms were ready. Females were not allowed to eat in the same area where the males were, so I had to bring dinner to them. I was the one who got them to change that rule. I said, it's a stupid rule for the 20th century. So if Mother Teresa came, she wouldn't be allowed to eat with us. If the Mother of God manifested herself in the refectory, that's where we ate, we'd have to kick her out. You can't come in here! So they changed it. The real reason was it was inconvenience to me. Always bring the meals to them, then sit with them. So my disability got worse. And there's a thing that came out in 1996, and the monastery paid for me to have it in 1998. It's called the baclofen pump. Baclofen is a muscle relaxant that I was taking all of me. I was up to 80 milligrams a day. The baclofen pump puts it directly into my spinal fluid. So you take it orally, it goes everywhere. Brain, kidney, heart. And then what's left over goes to your legs or wherever you need it. Get it directly into your spinal cord or spinal fluid. It goes only to the spastic muscles. So instead of 80 milligrams a day, I get 0.045 milligrams. and it has to be renewed every month. The monastery, for some reason, thought it was a cure. So 3 days later, I was teaching and doing all the other stuff, and I was getting worse. And the doctors intervened and said, what are you doing? In major surgery, you did. And now he needs physical therapy. Then one day, much to my surprise, I was called into the to see the abbot. And the abbot was there, and Abbot Alban, the second abbot, was there. And I said the council decided that this is not a right fit for me. And I had to go. I said, my parents died while I was here. I have no place to live. You're kicking out a disabled man who's homeless and has a back broken pump and has to be refilled every 6 months. Where do I go? Well, it's not our concern. In here 10 years, you call me brother and I get out because why? What do you mean it's not right? It turned out that the bursar didn't want to pay the medical bills anymore. So I said, I want a 2-year salary, which would have been $28,000. But we don't have to give you anything. No, yeah, you don't. I'll just go to the newspapers. They ended up giving me $30,000. Then I left. I was hoping they would actually drop the see that I was going to get the money and drop it and let me stay. But no, I left. And then the abbot wanted me to write the abbot president saying I wanted to be released from vows. My vows were simple vows. They were going to end that following October. So I wrote I emailed the abbot president. I said, I don't want to be released from anything. I'll give the money back in return. He said, you could do that if you want, but if they don't want you there, why go back? I said, okay, but I'm not going to be released from vows to make him feel better. Let them expire in October. And that's what happened. And now I'm here.